format tonight is a little different than last week because we are able to ask questions during the class. I believe it's still working on the technology. Would you please say your name, or if you're uncomfortable with that, just let us know somehow that you're able to ask a question. I guess that's not working, so I'll have to figure out the technology for next week. In the meantime, the way we normally start our classes is to read from the Zohar and to say the Ana B'Koach. The Zohar is one of the major books of Kabbalah and teaching of the spiritual laws. And the Ana B'Koach is a prayer that is connected to the attribute of God, or the attribute of the unity that created, that is creation. So by saying that prayer, we connect to the energy of creation. And it's helpful within the class. And next week we'll talk a little bit about the Hebrew letters and start to explain that, and you'll have a better understanding of it next week. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodaneihu. Kevan Demit Parshin Da Min Da Ma Ketiv Avram Yashar Be'eretz Kanaan At Yashvat Nishmata Be'inun Tzadikaya Be'yishuva Ta Bishlam V'tov Yashav Be'are Hakikar Hahu Lataya Nekatraga Azel Vekatraga Ul Ithabram Beachatar Dehayavaya Taman Diktiv Beahal Ad Sedom Ama Ketiv Batre Yanshe Sedom Raim Vehataim Hashem Meod Taman Shaya Beshave Hiure Beinaihu Leithabra Baho Leastaa Lon ulovada, lon deovadin bishin. Since they have separated themselves from each other, it is written, Avram dwelt in the land of Canaan, which means that the soul has settled among the righteous in a good and peaceful settlement. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, means that the cursed adversary went to prosecute and join the wicked in their dwellings. As it is written, and pitched his tent towards Sodom, followed by, and the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinners before Hashem exceedingly. There he dwelt and set his residence among them. He joined them so that he could deceive them and destroy them by evil deeds. The Zohar write in this section is discussing the story of Avram having left Haran and come to Canaan, gone down to Egypt and come back up from Egypt with much wealth in flocks and other trappings of the shepherd. He and his nephew Lot, the people that were with them were arguing. And the Zohar is explaining that Avram represents the soul, and Lot represents the evil inclination. The word Lot in Aramaic means it's a curse. And the two characters as a metaphor of the soul and the evil inclination within the body. And this is explaining why Lot goes into the city as opposed to staying out, and why they couldn't get along. And it's also a metaphor for our own life, where when we're given an opportunity to say, to do something negative and we know it's wrong, when we don't do that, we're sending our evil inclination away. And then later in the story, they return together, and that happens in our life as well. Anna Bekoa Gedula Chemincha Tati Serura Malachi Gimel Yutav Tzadi Kaberinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Noah Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. That phrase means to tear up the Satan, the negative force. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet is a sequence that totals 57 in Gematria, which is Zan, which is the essence of Parnassah, the energy of Parnassah, of sustenance. And Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that allows us to take back the energy that we've given over to the negative side through our wrong actions. Bachem Tacharem Rachame Sikatcha Tamid Gamrem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. At the end of the third verse, I should have also connected us to the Dalet, which is the letter that created the planet Maadim, which means Mars, and which is connected to the energy of Cheshvan, which is the month we're in. And the Nun, which is the letter that created the constellation Scorpio. Together they spell the word Din, which means judgment. Chasin Kadosh Biro Tuha Nael Adatach Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zayin Kuf, which is a sequence that connects us to the millennium that we're in, the level of Yesod, which is the essence and the energy of spreading the Kabbalah, which is the tools we need during this run-up to the time of Mashiach. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadi Yutav. And the last line we say silently. I'll say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kuvod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Last week we talked about the illusion. We talked about the physical world being a creation that is really not real, that our senses work in the physical world but are really designed to cause us not to see the reality behind the illusion. This week we're going to actually talk about the creation. Science teaches that this universe was created with something called the Big Bang. And Kabbalah agrees. They call the Big Bang Tzimtzum. The language of Kabbalah is different than the language of science. Eventually, science will reach to the level of knowledge that is available in the Kabbalah. Eventually they will become unified, just as everything else is unified, but we don't see it. So there's this thing called the Big Bang, and science studies it, or extrapolates about it. That's what basically physicists do. And they try and prove it with various techniques, but what they're measuring are physical things. They have no tools to measure the non-physical, the spiritual. Kabbalah has a language that expresses the physical tools. It also expresses the spiritual tools. Kabbalah calls this language the language of branches. We spoke a little bit about it last week, but essentially the language of branches says, if I name something in the physical world, that physical thing is a branch of something in the spiritual world. And by studying it in the physical world, I can extrapolate and connect to the essence and the understanding of that spiritual item. I can use the same word if I call a chair the word chair, which in Hebrew is kiseh, there is a connection in the spiritual world. There's a chair in the spiritual world. Does it look like our chair? No. It has a different clothing, a different body, a different essence. But a chair in the spiritual world is accomplishing the same essence that a chair does in this world. It allows someone to sit down as opposed to someone who's standing. This is the language of branches that the Mekupalim, the Kabbalists, use. So the Kabbalists teach that every instant the world is being created again. That if we wanted, and we were doing the creation, we could create ourselves having moved a mile away from one instant to the next, or 3,000 miles away if I want to be in New York when I'm in Los Angeles, or 13,000 miles away if I want to be in Israel when I'm in Los Angeles. Why don't I see that happen? We'll understand that in a minute as we'll talk about what is creation. But even before we ask and answer that question, we need to understand more deeply, what does science measure and what does Kabbalah measure? Kabbalah teaches us to ask the question, why? Science teaches us to ask the question, how? How does someone get from point A to point B? How long does it take? How fast do they have to go? Kabbalah is asking the question, why does someone want to go to that place? Science studies what Kabbalah calls cause and effect. Science studies the same thing, but doesn't really call it cause and effect. It studies it. I can throw a rock at a window, and the window will break. With time-lapse photography, the scientist has discovered that the window starts to break before the rock hits it. They don't don't understand why that happens. They don't understand even how it happens. But they have theories that they're working on to truly understand that. Kabbalah understands why it happens, because Kabbalah teaches that there is no action in our physical world that does not have a spiritual cause. So the window doesn't break because I threw the rock. The window breaks because there is a spiritual cause for the window to break. But in this world of illusion, we need to see that there's a physical cause to have a comfort level. How comfortable can you be if the window breaks for no reason? Well, it didn't break for no reason, but I can't see the reason. I can't fathom the reason, and that makes people uncomfortable. So science comes along and explains that the window breaks because the rock hit it. When in truth, nothing happens in the spirit, in this physical world, that is not caused by a spiritual cause. Remember what I spoke to you about last week, and I will continue to speak to you. Kabbalah, study of the spiritual laws, has one purpose. That purpose is to experience these laws, to experience truth. So please do not believe a word I say, but I do ask you to experiment for yourself with the tools that I will teach you. We'll probably start next week with some of these tools. Right now, last week and this week, we're giving you some background to understand our vocabulary. In the physical world, there is no cause. There is only effect. The window doesn't break because someone throws a rock. The window breaks because there's a spiritual cause for the window to break. The light burns out, not because it ran out of power, but there's a spiritual cause, which we'll talk about in one of our classes, for why the light burns out, why clothes wear out, and why in the desert, in the 40 years that our Jewish nation walked in the desert, clothes didn't wear out. People didn't have end in their life. Yes, there were people who died, but that was from a different cause, which is written in the Torah, the Bible. Kabbalah teaches us, we study Kabbalah to learn to see cause and effect, for a simple reason. The only way one can change an effect is to change the cause. If I go into the spiritual world and change the cause, then I will change the effect in the physical world. What does that really mean? And this is going to sound very, very strange to you. But ultimately, Kabbalah teaches us that we create the world around us. So the world seems to feel that there is a heating up of the world. There is a problem with the ozone layer. We're concerned about the pollution of the oceans. Those are effects, and they are real in that sense. What is the cause? It's not that people are polluting the oceans. the cause is spiritual. People pollute the oceans because of that spiritual cause. Can I change that? Yes, I can go into the spiritual world and change the spiritual cause. And the effect will be the oceans will become clean. But the only way to make those changes is to change myself. Looking into my character traits, looking into my actions, making my own evaluation, is this a good action or is it a bad action? Am I hurting someone or am I helping someone? Cause and effect. The cause is always spiritual. The effect in our lives is always physical. The effect is within the cause. The effect can never affect the cause. Let me repeat that because over the phone it's a little hard to understand it. The effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, cannot affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, the cause. But the cause creates the effect. Essentially, the cause affects, A-F-F-E-C-T, the effect. This is a spiritual law. A corollary of that spiritual law is called the boomerang effect. The boomerang says that if I do an action in this physical world, it's going to come back to me in my life, or in my next life, or in the five lives down the road. But there is never a loss of energy, so any action I do, which is another way of expressing energy, every action I do is going to come back to me because I am the cause by doing that action. And we learn from this law that the human being is the only entity in the physical world that can influence the spiritual worlds. And it's not the physical human being that influences the spiritual worlds. The human being was created to be in all of these different spiritual and physical worlds at the same time. The human being can cause changes in the spiritual worlds, which causes the physical world to happen in its appropriate way. In our world, in our physical world, we have something called time. What is time? Well, it's the sun circling the earth. It's the moon circling the earth. It's me looking at my clock and 10 minutes later looking at it again and saying, oh, 10 minutes have gone by. It's me waking up today and planning for tomorrow. This is all about time. But what essentially is time? Time is relative. There are days when I'm at work when the day drags on. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not happy about it. And an hour at work seems like 3 days. And there are other days when I'm just truly enjoying myself. When I look up, and it's the end of the day, and I've been here for 8 hours, but it felt like 20 minutes. Time is relative to our attitudes. The Kabbalists teach that time is the distance between cause and effect. I steal something, God forbid. That's a cause. What's the effect? I guarantee you stealing is not a good thing, therefore some chaos is going to enter my life. In a perfectly just world, there would be no time, there would be no space or distance between the stealing and the effect of losing my hand. You steal, your hand falls off. You commit adultery and something else falls off. Time is the energy of mercy that allows us the opportunity to change ourselves so that the negative effects do not impact our life as chaos. The negative effects disappear. Because this world is a world of illusion, and while the boomerang law is always true, the Kabbalists give us a metaphor which only in the 20th century, the end of the 20th century actually, and today, can we understand this metaphor. The metaphor is that of the multiplex cinema. We all know, go to the shopping center, there's a movie theater that has 16 or 12 or 20 different movies playing. You go into one movie and walk out of it and walk down 10 feet and there's another movie playing. Walk down another 10 feet and there's a third movie playing. All of these different movies. We all understand the multiplex cinema. Our lives are just like a multiplex cinema. But each movie is playing our life. Each movie starts with our birth, and each movie ends with our death. Some movies show that as 300 years of time. Some movies show it as 120 years. Some movies show it as 20 years. Some movies at 60, some at 80. Each of these movies, and it's not just 20 movies, it's millions of movies, all showing our life. In some subset of the movies, we're marrying this woman. And in another subset of the movies, we're marrying a totally different woman. In some subset of the movies, we have three children. In some subsets, we have 20 children. In some subsets, we have no children. In some subsets, we get cancer, God forbid. In some subsets, we live an idyllic life with a job and a family and no real chaos. And we choose which movie we are in. We can change our life. We have a life filled with chaos. We can choose a movie that doesn't have chaos. How do I do that? That's what this course is about. You will be given tools that will help you choose the movie. But all of the movie choices depend on our willingness to make change in our life. because the physical world was created for a reason. To understand that reason, we have to go back to what is referred to in Kabbalah as the endless world, the Ein Sof. And existing in the Ein Sof is something that the Kabbalists refer to as Or, which is the Hebrew word meaning light. And the Kabbalists say that the Or wanted to be revealed, but since the Or is just energy, only energy, and energy cannot be perceived, energy cannot be felt, energy is just energy. And the light wanted to be revealed. In order to reveal the light, it takes a receptacle, a vessel, to show, to clothe the energy, so that the energy can be seen from outside of itself. In the endless world, there is a cause. It's called the light. There is an effect. It's called the vessel. And in the spiritual worlds, to get close to each other means that you have an affinity of essence. You're similar to the other essence, and then you're close to somebody in the spiritual world. In the physical world, whether I'm similar to another person or not, I can just walk up to them and be close to them. But in the spiritual world, the only way I can be close to something is to be similar to it. Light and vessel are totally opposite of each other. The Kabbalists explain, and they give a metaphor of what is the light. They say, imagine a candle, and if I light three candles with that same candle, I have four candles. Is the light the same? The first candle that I lit the other three, has it been diminished? No. If I ignore the fact that the wax melts, which is in the physical world, light is essentially energy, even in the physical world. And the light lights other lights, other candles, and it doesn't diminish itself. Its essence of the light is to share itself. That's why other candles get lit. Those four candles can become millions of candles. And all of that light, the essence of all of that, is sharing. The candles, the Or, had a desire to be revealed. It needed a vessel. What is a vessel? A vessel is a desire to receive. A vessel is looking for fulfillment. The energy of sharing and the energy of fulfillment are two opposite things. In the endless world, in the Ein Sof, the light and the vessel are one. They're close to each other. They're in unity. We don't understand it. It's a paradox. Yet, the light and the vessel are in one, are in unity. The light and the vessel are opposites. One is sharing and one is receiving. And yet in the endless world, the light and the vessel are one. There is a Hebrew phrase that expresses this. He and his name are one. He is the light. His name is the vessel. In the endless world, they're together. But then something happened over the eons of timelessness. Something happened called bread of shame. The existence of the vessel was simple. A desire arose. It was fulfilled before, almost at the instant, so that you never felt a lack. The vessel always was full. It was always fulfilled. Coming from a physical world, we cannot understand that, because our whole life, our whole essence, is about lack. I want food. I want shelter. I want a better car. I want honor. I want money. All of those are desires to receive. And we need, in the physical world, to work to achieve that fulfillment. In the endless world, the desire existed and was fulfilled instantaneously. Cause and effect, without the distance between them called time. There is a procedure, there is a process of cause and effect. It's called the four phases, but it's a very deep Kabbalistic concept, and we're not going to talk about it tonight. The endless world transformed due to this feeling of bread of shame into the physical world. It transformed in step by step by step, lowering itself, thickening itself, changing its essence of energy into mass. Albert Einstein says E equals mc squared. Energy is equal to the mass times the speed of light squared. We've all heard the formula. We understand the formula in whatever level we understand it. Energy and mass are the same thing, but they look different in the physical world. We can transform energy into mass, and we can transform mass into energy. Unfortunately, when we do that, with our technology today, it's destructive. In the spiritual world, that transformation is not destructive. In the endless world, the vessel is receiving. Now, the Kabbalists give us a metaphor to explain bread of shame. The metaphor is simple. If I take you out to lunch every day, day in and day out, year after year after year, day in and day out, and each time we go to lunch, we have a wonderful time. We enjoy the food. We get pleasure from the food. We enjoy each other's company. We get pleasure from being around each other. We enjoy the conversation. We enjoy the silence. We truly have a wonderful time together. Now the bill comes, and every day the light, someone picks up that bill and pays it. The person who's being taken to lunch, yes, enjoys it, has a wonderful time. He doesn't mind being taken to lunch one time. But every day for a year, he starts to say, hey, once in a while, I'd like to pay you back. let me pick up the check today. No, 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 no. I'm buying. This is bread of shame. It's a feeling that you did not earn what you receive. In our world, it's a real emotion. It's a real feeling. In the endless world, it was an uncomfortable emotion that grew to the point where the vessel said to the light, stop. I would rather die than feel this inability to show gratitude. Stop, light. The light is an endless energy of sharing. The vessel is an endless energy of receiving. One of those desires to receive is don't share with me anymore. How does the light deal with that? How does the endless energy of sharing deal with the concept of don't share with me? It wants to share whatever the desire is. That's a paradox. That's the cause of the Tsimtsum. That's the cause of the Big Bang. That's the cause of our being in the physical world. To remove this feeling of bread of shame. How do we remove this feeling? We will talk about it. That's what this course is about. It will teach you the tools that remove bread of shame. One of the ways of removing bread of shame is pain and suffering. But there are other ways that the Kabbalists have taught us that allows us to remove bread of shame without pain and suffering, without chaos. We come into the physical world. We come into this space created by the light in order for us to make perfection, in order for us, the vessel, to create perfection. Could the light have created this world perfect? Yes. But then, we as the vessel would never learn, would never be able to remove bread of shame through creating perfection. Now, the typical answer or to response to that is, I'm a human being. I'm not supposed to be perfect. And everything I do is not supposed to be perfect. And to a limited extent, that is true. As a human being living in the physical world, we are here to make mistakes. So that by learning from our mistakes, we can remove bread of shame. Excuse me. In this creation of the physical world, we have time, which is the distance between cause and effect, so that when we do make a mistake, and we do something that's going to cause pain and suffering in our life, the boomerang law, we have the space, we have the distance, we have the time to change it. We have the time to change ourselves. to become a different person. So when that energy of that negative stuff, that energy of that chaos, goes looking for Hanoch ben Yaakov, it can't find him. Because Hanoch ben Yaakov, who made that mistake, has changed and is no longer that same Hanoch ben Yaakov. He's been moved into the other movie theater. And by moving into the other movie theater, and in that movie theater, that mistake wasn't made. That energy doesn't find him. That chaos does not enter his life. All of what I've just said to you, and remember, please do not believe a word I've said, but try whatever tools I teach you, try to live with them. Try to see the truth of what I'm saying. But I am not here to prove anything to you. I'm here to give you information. How you use that information is up to you. Will you make that information knowledge in your life? Will you make that information belief in your life? Which belief has an element of doubt. Knowledge is connected to certainty. It's your choice. Use the tools, experience the truth of the tools for yourself. The world is in chaos because we made mistakes. We can avoid receiving that chaos by changing ourselves. The Creator, and again, you don't have to believe in the Creator. You don't have to think that there is a God. There is a unity of light and vessel in the endless world. And maybe that's true and maybe it's not. Doesn't really matter as to whether it works in your life. The Creator caused the physical world to come into existence and continues to cause the physical world to come into existence each and every instant. The Creator causes the physical world to appear in our lives. But it's an illusion. We're still in the endless world, constantly receiving. But I don't sense it. I wasn't given a sensory tool to know that that exists. I am given a sensory tool in addition to the five senses that connect and sense our physical world. We are given more senses that allow us to sense certain spiritual worlds. But we are not given the ability to sense that endless world. We are given the physical world to learn to make perfection. And in the course of making perfection, we learn to be like the light. We learn to share. That's why you and I appear separate, when in reality we are one in the endless world. But we look and appear to each other as separate. Just as when I look at my hand, I see five fingers, or I see one hand. Both statements are true. The atom in the finger, the atom that's in the first finger and the atom that's in the pinky finger are the same. But they think of themselves. The pinky finger thinks it's better than the first finger. And both of them think they're better than the thumb, and the thumb thinks it's better than the other two. But ultimately, all of them are part of the hand. And ultimately, all of them are part of our body. As we elevate through the spiritual world and we see a larger, and I'm using larger in a physical sense, but I really mean it in a metaphorical spiritual sense, we're seeing a larger picture, a more broad consciousness. We're able to see true cause and effect, not just somebody threw the rock and the window broke. We're able to see that the sound of that window breaking and the cause of that window breaking is actually coming to help us learn how to achieve perfection. Creator gave us time as this distance between cause and effect in order to not be the recipient of chaos. And not in order not to do a mistake that causes chaos. In order to choose the life movie that has no chaos. But the Creator didn't give us endless time. He gave us 6,000 years. Right now, we're in the year 5769. That means there are 231 years left until this physical world will change. In what way will it change? We call that change Mashiach, Messiah. We call that change something that we don't really know what it will be. We have prophecies that say the Messiah will come. We have prophecies that tell us that when the Messiah comes, the world will be chaos-free. That the lamb will lie down with the lion. A metaphor for chaos-free. We have prophecies. And one of the interesting aspects of prophecy, which is a sage, a person of unbelievably spiritual consciousness, who is able to peer into the spiritual world and see the future. But I can tell you the future. The future is Mashiach. The future is chaos-free. And if you know that the future is chaos-free, then why should it matter to you that it takes 20 days to get to be chaos-free, or it takes 200 years to be chaos-free? You know the future is chaos-free. Well, unfortunately, people don't believe me. I'm not a prophet. But ultimately, the future is Mashiach. The future is chaos-free. That's what the prophecies teach us. And that can come with chaos, which is what some of the prophecies say. Or that can come without chaos, which is what some of the prophecies say. And we have spiritual laws of prophecy that tell us a negative prophecy does not have to manifest. All positive prophecies will manifest. choose to change ourselves, we are bringing Mashiach with peace and serenity and without chaos. When we continue down our path and world of ego, of hedonism, of call it what you will, the Kabbalists define it as the desire to receive for oneself alone. When we continue down this path, we will reach the level of Mashiach, but that will come with the War of Armageddon. That will come with a level of chaos that the prophecies say two-thirds of the world's population will be annihilated in 12 minutes. That's a prophecy from the Gaon de Vilna. There are also prophecies in the Torah itself, in the Bible, similar to those kinds of statements. But it does not have to be like that. By choosing to change ourselves, the War of Armageddon does not have to happen. What does have to happen? Our desire to receive for oneself alone. Our selfishness has to be cleansed from our desire to receive. When we learn to have a desire to receive in order to share, rather than for myself, that removes bread of shame. That brings the Messiah with peace and serenity. Can I do that just by saying, oh, let's do that? No, we need the tools of Kabbalah in order to achieve that. The cause, the beginning cause, was the vessel saying, enough, I'm feeling that I have not earned this wonderful feeling of pleasure. The effect was the physical world, and all of us being put here in order to receive that pleasure, not for ourselves, but in order to share. We will talk about these concepts much, much more in the next 10, 12, 14 weeks, 13 weeks. The purpose of tonight's class is to understand creation. Why we are here in the physical world is to remove bread of shame. What is the physical world? It's an effect of feeling bread of shame in the endless world. Who is the creator? You are. I am. Every human being is the creator of this physical world, because our feeling of bread of shame was the cause of this creation. I'm bringing the class to an end. If anybody has any questions, since I don't know the technology of how to solve this, if you have any questions, please email them to me, chanoch_7@hotmail.com, or you can call me at 818-613-3457 and ask me these questions. This class will be recorded, and it'll be available for download probably by Friday morning, definitely by Friday afternoon, Shabbat coming. There is a handout that I give to the class, and that is and will always be at the following website location, www.yeshem.com, and that's spelled YESHSHEM.com/Kabbalah classes. That's spelled capital K, small letters, ABBALAH, space, capital C, small letters, LASSES, / class links, spelled capital C, small letters, LASS, space, capital LINKS, .htm. When you go to that website address, you will see a list of other links. Some of them are the handouts for each class. Some of them are the MP3 files for each class. The MP3 files are only available for approximately 2 weeks. If you miss that window of opportunity and want to receive them later, all you have to do is write me an email requesting it. I teach Torah. I teach Kabbalah. I teach the spiritual laws. All of that from my worldview is free. All of that is knowledge that is available to every human being. There are differences between people, and there are reasons for those differences. But this information is available, this knowledge is available to every human being, and I do not charge for it. But we live in a society that says my bills need to be paid. We live in a society that says time has value. I do suggest that you make donations. And the way to do that is to go to www.paypal.com, click on the link that says send money, and type in my email address and the amount of money you wish to send. Am I requesting money only? No. One of the spiritual laws that we will talk about in a later class is to understand that in order to receive energy, and knowledge is energy, one must exchange energy. Otherwise, there's an imbalance in the universe. And that imbalance gets corrected by chaos to the person who created it. You're more than welcome to this knowledge, but in order to receive it at its maximum, you need to exchange energy for it. That can be through donating time. That can be through giving to other people. That can be to sharing. That can be through just changing yourself. And it can be through the donation of money. One final point. Each day of the year has a unique energy. Each month is a group of days that have some similar aspects of that energy. This Saturday night is the 11th of Cheshvan. In the Jewish calendar, the day starts at night and finishes at sundown the next day. Sunday is the 11th day of Cheshvan. It starts Saturday night. On that day, a particular person known as Rachel Imenu died approximately 3,800 years ago. Rachel Imenu was a wonderful woman who was the wife, one of the two wives of Jacob, the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Rachel Imenu died on the road and was buried on the road for a reason. Rachel Imenu represents what is called in Kabbalah a chariot. She represents a channel for us to connect to a particular kinds of positive energy. What do I have to do to connect with that energy Saturday night? I have to light a candle. I don't have to say a blessing. I just have to light the candle and think about Rachel Imenu. It's better if you say her name. It's better if you study her life. And where can you study her life? You can study it in the Zohar. You can study it in the Chumash, in the Torah itself, in the Bible itself. It starts it starts in the portion of Toldot. There's a number of verses that describe her life and her relationship with Jacob and her relationship with her children and all of the 12 tribes and her relationship with all kinds of things. And there are many spiritual lessons to learn from that study. But essentially, the connection you make by lighting the candle, strengthened by the study of her life, connects you to positive energy, which is something that is very much needed during the month of Cheshvan, which is the month of an energy of flood. Now, that flood can be positive or that flood can be negative, but when a flood is positive, it just means that the vessel can't handle that much positivity. But maybe through connecting to Rachel Imenu, we can build the vessel to handle what positive energy is coming to us and prevent whatever negative energy would be coming to us. I wish you a beautiful Shabbos, a Shabbat filled with shalom, which means peace, but also completion, completeness. It means serenity.